Doug, are you ready?
Sure.
Yeah, got some questions for you. Come on.
When are we stopping? Anybody know what time we're supposed to stop? 3:30? Okay. All right. Here's the first question.
As 20 minutes.
20 after 3? As a sponsor, should you talk about each item on your sponsee's four-step list, or should you just
listen?
Thanks. Marty, our translator.
Yeah.
it's subjective. There are times if I hadn't the guy that I did whose fifth step I heard, who thought that he was responsible for the sexual abuse when he was a child. If I hadn't talked to him about it, neither one of us would have had that important experience. There are other things that I don't think need to be talked about. There was a guy who called me up and said he was working on his fourth step, and should I? I don't know if I should put the police officer who gave me the drunk driving ticket that got me to AA. I resented him. He cost me a lot of money, but on the other hand, I happened to get sober because of it. I said, oh, yeah, put him on the list. Yeah. because I know that when we get to the part about, well, where was I at fault? Where was I to blame? You know, it's pretty obvious. And that's what happened. When we got to that part, I just looked at him, you know, and he knew that the reason for that resentment was because he drove drunk. So sometimes the person whose inventory you're doing will realize where he was at fault, and it'll be resolved, and you don't need to talk about it. Other times, I don't think you need to talk about every item on the list. Sometimes they're self-explanatory, and sometimes they're repetitive. Sometimes somebody will have the same resentment against seven or eight people, and if you've mentioned it once, you just go, bingo, bingo, there it is again, there it is again. You recognize that. So it just depends. And what I've found is just asking for guidance before you start the inventory, before you start hearing it as a sponsor. So, and here's another one. There are a lot of lists that are used besides the AA book to work the steps. What do you think of them? There again, I think that varies. I like to use the book, but as I pointed out, the book, in my opinion, at least in my case, and in the case of many people that I've worked with, resentment, fear, and sex doesn't cover the things that need to be in the inventory. Where was I dishonest? Where was I self-righteous? Where was I selfish? All those things apply to other defects. Manifestations of self, and so even the big book, you know, didn't cover everything I needed to cover. But there again, I had done the third step and turned my will and my life over, and I asked God's guidance, and I was able to put down the things that needed to be done, so that when I got to my eighth step, the list was complete. In fact, the list wasn't complete. I had to go back on my eighth step and make some and add some things that weren't in my inventory. But the list, Hazelden has a list, has an inventory with a lot of questions on it. And for some who are like I was when I first talked to Stan and said, I don't know how to do this. I've read the big book, I've read the 12 and 12, and I can't understand it. Fortunately, I got somebody who said, you know, who told me about the motor manual and told me to do it that way. Some people say, you know how to use a cookbook, you know, do it that way. But other lists, now there's a big, highly structured group in Alcoholics Anonymous in California. It's very, very similar to Alcoholics Anonymous. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, they're part of Alcoholics Anonymous. and you hear people in that group talk about, my sponsor gave me those seven questions, as if the seven questions are in the big book, which they're not. These seven questions are questions that the founder of that group made up. And if you answer those seven questions to the best of your ability, I think you've done a pretty good inventory. And there are people who argue that you haven't done an AA inventory. And there are people who say the same thing about the Hazelden list. I really think that, you know, as I pointed out in my talk last night, We have found that God doesn't make too hard terms on those who seek him. This whole thing, all these steps are about seeking him, about moving from an ego center to a God center. And we never get there. And it may be that if we got there, we'd find there's no there there. And you know, so I really believe if you're trying to do a good inventory and using people in Alcoholics Anonymous to do it, if you do an inventory that you're not satisfied later, you can go back and do it again. That's all I have to say on that one. I'm about to do the fifth step with my sponsor for the first time. What should I keep in mind and how should I prepare? The book says honesty was the only thing that counted. Honesty and accuracy. Nothing else counts but honesty and accuracy. Where was I selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate? Where was I fearful? Where was I self-obsessed? And those are the things that we need to look at. And if you're sponsoring somebody who's going through the fifth step for the first time, I suggest you do what Stan did with me at the end and say, what did you leave out? At the time that happened with me, I didn't feel that I had left anything out. I really tried to be as honest as I could, but I've heard many people, hundreds of people, say when their sponsor said, what did you leave out? They talk about the item that they couldn't put in the fifth step, and they feel like they've been caught, you know. Sometimes the sponsor's not even paying attention. What'd you leave out? You know, they just do it automatically, and, oh, God, he caught me, and then they run it, you know. So accuracy and honesty is the only thing we can do. And there again, if you find out later that you left something out, you can do it again. You know, it's not the end of the process when you go through this. Other question. My dad lives abroad. He is an active alcoholic. We get active, don't we? I've been sober for 1 year. I call him once a month and tell him I love him. He always asks me the same thing. Are you working? Do you still live with your man? Though I just told him a month ago, he moved from us when I was six. I love him so much, and I guess we won't live very long. Or he won't live very long because he is drinking and smoking. What should I do? I have formally apologized to him, but I miss him and owe him money. This also affects my relationship with men. Will he ever show me love or tell me he cares about me? Should I keep sending him notes? Yeah, and I put some money in it too. if you owe him money, you may be concerned that you don't want to send him money because he might drink with it. And if he's an alcoholic, he will. But that's him. If he gets sober, he can put that in his inventory. If you owe somebody money, I mean, it's possible that you may say, Dad, I owe you money, and he'll say, don't give me any money, I don't want your money. Then maybe you don't have to give him money. That's something you should talk about with your sponsor. But if you owe him money, I'd send him money, and you can clean up your side of the fence. And then if he drinks and smokes himself to death, you've done your share. You've done your job. You've done all you can do because you're not going to get him sober. That's tough, you know. Bill Wilson said you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it if he still prefers beer. And, you know, I have not finished the steps. Until I have finished every single item on the eight-step list. Have I not finished the steps until I have finished every single item on the eight-step list? I'm not to expect the magic until then. Well, I don't know if you're clearing up the wreckage of your past and you're halfway down that eight-step list. That means you're into your ninth step. And interestingly enough, halfway through the ninth step is where the book says the promises come, what we call the promises. That doesn't mean I know people who get the opinion that we should go halfway through the ninth step and then the promises come through and we don't have to go any farther. I don't believe that. And I don't think that was ever intended. But halfway through the ninth step is where, when we are halfway through this process, we'll find that's when I'm not going to try to quote the promises because I'll do what I did on the seven step prayer. But you need to keep doing them. I think we need to keep doing this process. You may find that after you've cleaned up your eight step by doing your ninth step. You may have to go into the tenth step and do make amends to something you didn't even know that you owed amends on in your eighth step, or something you may owe amends for something you did sober. And that's why we have a tenth step. A tenth step is a drunk catcher. You know, we do our eighth and ninth, we go, oh, thank God that's over. Oh, guess what? Continue to take personal inventory. We were wrong, promptly admitted it. I'm not, Earl's going to get into that later, but I think that's just in case we accidentally miss something in the four through nine. So, yeah, the answer is, yeah, you may find the magic, you may find the promises, but you still need to keep doing the steps. You still need to go through that list. What would you say to someone who has $1 million? Do you want to marry me? You know. You're single? You know, regarding the ninth step. Not who has, someone who owes $1 million. Okay, I retract what I said. I think my general opinion, and the thing is, this is so general that I may have a different answer if I talk to you in person, but maybe somebody else would have even a different answer than I have. But if you owe $1 million, you may be able to pay that off. I have seen people pay off amounts of money that were insurmountable. And they started paying them off. I've also seen people that paid on things forever and never got them paid off. But the fact that they're paying them off is like trying to move from an ego center to a God center. If you're trying to pay them off. Also, I don't know if this is true in Iceland. In the United States, there are big companies like Sears and May Company and Robinson who have people who all they do is take care of these kind of things. You contact Robinson's May, it's a big department store in the United States, and if you get to the right people, the right financial people, and say, I stole from you and I owe you some money, you will be connected with a person who does this for a living, who collects old debts, and they're pretty easy to get along with, and they make payment plans. And I've seen people become very surprised by that. They expect them to say, oh, don't worry about that, you know. $140, oh no, we just wrote that off, we're insured. Oh, $140, well, how would you like to take care of that, you know? And maybe they have that here, I don't know. But I mean, $1 million, when we come in here, I think most of us think that the debts that we owe are just undoable. We'll never get them paid off, and yet we do. Okay, since this came up, I mentioned before that I owed $168,000 to the Internal Revenue Service and the California State Franchise Tax Board. Here's what happened. I tried to pay them, and they said, like, no, you're young, you will wait. And so I went to an attorney who specialized in working with alcoholics, and we tried to make what they call an offer and compromise, and they wouldn't accept that. And so my attorney said, who was also a member, and this is what she did for a living, said, well, you're going to have to file bankruptcy. And I said, I have a moral problem with bankruptcy. And she said, I understand that. What would you like to do, write them a check? For $168,000. So what happened was I went through the process of filing bankruptcy. And I rarely talk about this in AA meeting because some sponsors tell me, don't tell people they're going to have a credit card that they'll file bankruptcy against. But the truth is, I filed bankruptcy against the tax boards, and the debt was resolved, and I didn't put anybody who I actually owed money to. anybody real money, you know, credit cards and things like that. I think I followed the direction that God gave me to follow. I may be rationalizing that, and I don't know. And the fact is, I really don't care. So next, are you saying that if I sleep with someone only one time and never talk to that person again, that I do not have to talk to that person and make some kind of amend. Can I see the hand of the person who wrote this? That's not what I'm saying, but I kind of agree with that in a sense. Sleeping with someone one time, I don't think is necessarily a harm. Could be, but not necessarily. But if that's all you did was sleep with him one time and never talk to him again, if I were your sponsor, I'd say no. You don't need to make amends. In fact, making amends might be just an excuse to call them. I don't know, you know. So I'm an easy sponsor. How is it possible to really know if you took the 6 and 7 steps to the fullest? Oh, man, that's a good question. You don't. Just like what I just said about the IRS, it may be that God's hearing me saying that I did God's will, and he's going, "Oh, Doug." Because I think sometimes God's looking down and saying, "Look at this guy. I love him. He's got his head so far up his ass, you know." But I think that trying to please God actually does please God. And the 6th and 7th step, I don't know, you know. In the 6th step, looking at, we're such rationalizing people that, I mean, we look at lust and we call it romance, you know. You call it anger, I call it reason, you know. You call it gluttony, I call it lunch, you know. It's just, I don't know what, sometimes I don't recognize character defects. And I may be practicing character defects right now that I'll recognize later and go, "Oops, there's one I should have got rid of. Should have asked God to remove." So I don't. Maybe you never get done with them, you know. So I don't know how you know. Ask your sponsor. The sponsors usually have some kind of line on this. They have a lot different perspective than I have. I know that. I'm having some trouble finishing my amends. What can I do? I'm not so positive that I did harm to some persons. Well, if you didn't do any harm, you don't owe any amends. And there again, it's something you need to bounce off your sponsor. And so here's what I did. Is that a harm? Do I need to make amends for that? That's pretty simple stuff. And because it's not mine, it's yours. It makes it a lot simpler. If I did some harm in the past, that I have to make amends to, but was not alone when I did did the harm, what should I do? Just make amends for the stuff you did. Don't go, "Listen, I'm sorry about what Bob and I did to you." You know, we're both sorry as hell. And I want to pay you back for Bob's share. We just make amends for the harm that we did. We can't make amends for anybody else. Did you do a 9th step on every girl you slept with? Fuck no. oops. Sorry. No. Some of them, I like to think I may have brightened their life to. I didn't even make every amends to every man I slept with, and I didn't even mean to do that. Do you have a time limit for the 4th step? No time limit for the 4th step. I don't have a time limit for the 4th step. I think you should do it as soon as you can, and if you don't do it to your satisfaction or your sponsor's satisfaction, do it again. Keep doing it. My first sponsor said to me, "We have to stay on this thing, but we're not in any hurry. We need to do it the rest of our life. Stay in the middle of the pack." If you owe money for booze, stolen from a restaurant, would you pay it? Would you pay it back or by giving the money to charity. No, I would give it to the restaurant. I had cocaine dealers that I had to owe money to. In fact, some people got sober and owed me money for cocaine that made their amends. Other people said, no, don't do that. And it's a subjective thing again. But I put a lot of money on my Visa card, a lot of booze on my Visa card. I couldn't very well go to Visa and say, you know, $800 of this was for booze, and I'm a sober alcoholic now. What do you say? We just write that off. I had to pay that. And I think if you owe money to a restaurant, the restaurant may be very impressed if you go back in and say, this is what I think I owe you for the booze that I stole. Sometimes you can't do that. If you still work for the restaurant, you may lose your job, and that's something you have to work out between you and God and your sponsor. Sometimes you can't pay the money back without getting yourself or somebody else in trouble. And the book talks about that, you know. But the guy that made amends to the church stood up and said, alcoholically, "Excuse me, I know I don't come to this church, but I like to make amends. I was real horrible to that guy over there. I said he stole from me, but he really didn't. I know I ruined his career and his wife left him. His kids hate him, but it was my fault. Okay, thanks. See ya." But it's all very subjective. You need to talk to your sponsor. There are some amends that we can't make, and I think giving money to charity is a good way to do it in those cases. My ex-wife had that situation where she couldn't give them. I didn't have anybody who I took money from or something valuable that I couldn't go to except somebody who was dead. And that money I just ended up putting in the basket, you know. So it's all subjective. We're all here. We're all alcoholics. The whole thing is about one alcoholic talking to another. You know, I don't sponsor anybody in this room. You're better off talking to your sponsor about most of the questions that were asked of me tonight and say, I heard a guy at a convention say this. What do you think? You know, I hope I didn't hurt anybody, and thanks for letting me share with you. Does anybody have a question that didn't get in the basket? Okay, thanks.